And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is growth. My first guest told us how an economy grows and then subsequently crashes. My second guest enlightened us on the growth and innovation strategies of Steve Jobs at Apple. My third guest is going to tell us what it takes to grow the Ventura Botanical Gardens from its embryonic idea to a public asset benefiting the entire community. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Doug Halter is originally from Northern California, where he still has a large extended family. In 1978, he moved here to attend UC Santa Barbara, where he graduated with a BS in chemical engineering. His work experience includes engineering and marketing positions for Shell, Procter & Gamble, Unisys, and several educational software companies, too. Over the past several years, he's renovated old homes in Ventura and the historic church in downtown Ventura that subsequently became the Laurel Theater. He sold the theater to the Rubicon Theater Group just a few years ago. Doug has a thriving landscape business, which he's owned for over 13 years. He wears many hats within the community, lots and lots of different roles that he's held there. And back in 1999, the LA Times declared him one of the people to watch here in Ventura County. In 2001, he received the Ventura Citizen of the Year Award. Welcome to the show, Doug. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Bill. It's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you here, and it's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. I'm very interested in the Ventura Botanical Gardens. You've thrown your efforts behind so many different civic projects in the last 10 years. I mean, yep. Too many to really name right here. What got you on board with the Ventura Botanical Gardens project?
Well, as you know, this is really my passion. It's my love. It's plants, the environment, the natural beauty that we're so fortunate and blessed to have here in Ventura and in most of California. So the Botanical Gardens, to me, is probably one of the most unifying, exciting projects I've ever been involved in.
Wow.
And it's about ready to happen.
Well, now you say unifying. How is it unifying the community behind the botanical garden?
You know, it seems like so many issues here in our community can be so divisive and polarizing, and I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people about this and seen it yourself. The reality, though, is we all have the same type of values. We're here for a reason. And so we may have different degrees on what we value, but we have the same values. And for the botanical gardens, we're simply taking a fairly unutilized major asset to our entire region, Grant Park, and turning that into a beautiful, beautiful park that represents the five Mediterranean biomes of that exist in the world. And it is going to be a world-class garden. And there's people from the Hillside Conservancy, the Cross Conservancy, Surf Rider Foundation has their Gardens to Ocean program, the Chamber of Commerce because it's good for business and tourism, the Tourism Bureau, the Downtown Council, a lot of different amenities, different groups are behind us on this project.
Wow, I mean, it does sound like very, very widespread support within the community. Tell us, where is the Botanical Gardens going to be located? Because mm-hmm. It's not yet under construction, et cetera.
Right.
We all know where the Cross is up in Grant Park, but tell us, relative to that, where's the Botanical Gardens going to be?
We went through an extensive site selection, looked at 17 different sites.
17?
And wow. About 3 years ago, we selected one. And the site we selected was someplace in Grant Park. In the last year and a half, it morphed because of a variety of different interconnecting issues that needed to be addressed. So right now, the remainder parcel of Grant Park, which is 107 acres, will become the botanical gardens.
107 acres.
That's
now,
correct.
Help me to understand. That's a huge plot of land.
Yeah.
And it's going to cover, is it going to be on the entire hillside? Is it going to straddle the hill on both sides of the hill? How's the park going to actually look?
There's, as I was mentioning a little bit ago, is that there would be five different main gardens that represent the five biomes of the Mediterranean genre. And we will be starting more than likely with what we call a Discovery Center, which is up by the picnic area mm-hmm. that exists up at Grant Park right now. And that will be a point where we have a small educational facility for people to do different lectures and education about the plants and our culture and so forth. But our master plan has just been completed, actually, and it will be shown to the public for the first time at Parks and Recs next week.
Parks and Recs next week. Now, where's that meeting going to be held? In City Hall?
In City Hall at 5:30. So everybody's welcome to join us there. But it's really exciting because there's so many different elements to this, to the Botanic Gardens. And we want to make sure that each year something new happens to that park. But this is obviously a lifetime endeavor that will continue to grow and mature and improve each day, each year that goes by.
No, that's phenomenal. And I like the idea that it's going to be going on in perpetuity. But the master plan that you've drawn up, how many years does the master plan cover? Is that forever, or does it cover a finite period of time?
No, that's a good question. It's actually, we broke it into phases. And we, for a lot of reasons, we broke it into phases. But the master plan is really from now until the end of time.
Oh.
What we see this park being, okay, it has a variety of different elements that we're planning to have there. Everything from the educational facility to a heritage center that talks about our culture, our heritage, or what we see from up there at Grant Park, which is the Channel Islands and our historic center of the region or downtown in the west side, the river estuary. So like there's a lot of things we can educate and showcase and teach and get people excited about where they live, you know, from that point. A potential for an amphitheater of some type.
An amphitheater, ooh, that's nice.
And including a funicular to get people up to Grant Park from City Hall parking lot.
Wow.
So we're thinking big. This will be, in my 27 years of living here in Ventura, the biggest endeavor I've seen us undertake.
But it sounds like it's a huge project, and whenever you're talking about a huge project, it goes hand in glove with a huge project, it takes huge money to
yes.
do that. So how is this thing being funded, and where's the money going to come from?
Well, so far, you know, we've been fairly quiet about our efforts. We've tried to get out there and outreach as much as we can. We do have a charter membership that's available through the end of this year. If people want to get in on the ground floor of being a charter member, then through December 31st, it's $100 per person to be a charter member.
$100 is all it takes to be a charter member?
And so far, that's what's been funding our master plan activities or other activities that's led us to the point of on the eve of signing a lease with the city for Grant Park.
Now, what do you get for your $100 to become a charter member?
You get to be on the forefront of supporting a fantastic asset to our community, and you get our newsletter, you get first rights to purchasing the tickets for our garden tour, for our polo and picnic in paradise activities that we have, and privileged seating at different activities that we'll be having throughout the
different
year.
Different venues that you're having. We're talking to Doug Halter, everybody. We're talking about the Ventura Botanical Gardens. Doug, I've got to ask you, though, why has it taken so long for Ventura County to really get behind the idea of a botanical garden? I mean, a lot of other counties have them.
You know, it's funny because Ventura, we are so accustomed to driving elsewhere to enjoy the things that other communities have, the things that we would love to have. We're finally seeing our downtown improve so we could shop here and eat here and be entertained here. And hopefully a lot of our jobs will start returning to our city as well. But Botanical Gardens is just one of those additions that we should have always had. We're perfect for it. And now we're on the eve of actually realizing it.
Oh, that's great. Well, Doug, the Botanical Gardens seems like it would be just a perfect fit for you. Your combination of your civic mindedness coming together with your business experience and now merging with your landscaping and your landscaping architect experience. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your landscaping architecting business. I mean, because you are a natural and you're out in the community doing that on a daily basis.
You know, it's amazing because, as you mentioned earlier, is my degree is in chemical engineering. And I only did that because I have always loved math and science. Those, believe it or not, math is probably my favorite subject.
I can see you sitting around the house discussing math problems.
I know. It's fun for me. But nonetheless, my real passion has always been plants. From the time I was even, my parents and grandparents would attest to, I had over 100 plants in my room by the time I was 9. I love plants. I love nature. And I never thought I could actually do it for a living because I had so many bad allergies growing up in Northern California.
Really? How funny. A botanist with bad allergies.
I know. But here in Southern California on the coast, my allergies aren't really anything to worry about. So when I got back into it was when I decided not to continue commuting to Los Angeles, which is what I was doing. I was commuting to Unisys and other software companies for work. And I decided to get more involved locally, that my time was better spent not sitting on that freeway. Mm. I started doing a lot of home renovations and other projects here in town. And then somebody, Judy Fairchild, I'll mention her name because she's so important to me, She is so bubbly and so outgoing that you just don't say no to her. And she came knocking on my door asking who did my landscaping on my home I just built in downtown Ventura. Mm. And I told her I did it. And anyway, she convinced me to do her design, and then she convinced me to install it. Well, 20 years later, and a fairly large crew of hardscape masons and landscapers, it's a pretty big business.
Well, big shout out to Judy, who got you into the business, sort of nudged you out of the nest into the business itself. Now, what does it take to become a landscape architect and put together the type of business that you have? You mentioned a couple of things, hardscape people, people who do the digging and the watering and all that kind of stuff. What are the different elements involved in a landscaping business?
Okay. Well, first, I got to be clear that I don't actually have an architect license. I'm actually a designer. So I got to be careful there.
Nope, sorry.
It's okay not to mislead anybody.
Yeah.
But the reality is that I do a lot of designs. And for me, it's taken years. I think we all have a gift. Sometimes it takes us a lifetime to realize what our gift is. I know for me, it's very easy for me to visualize how something could look and how to do that in a cost-effective way. And so first, when I meet with a customer, I find out what their needs are, what it is they're like to see. I ask some very basic questions on plant material to genres, what's important features in the garden. And then I'll take our measurements. I come up with the design. And then I price it out. I always do line item pricing so people can see exactly where the costs are at.
Mm.
And then that usually leads to further negotiations. Okay.
Sure. And then from that, you have crews that you bring in that actually execute the work? I mean, I don't see you out there digging every hole and laying the foundations for the concrete or anything else.
You know, it's funny. There was a time, not too distant past, where you would see that. But in reality, I need to get back out there because I need to get back in shape. But my guys are awesome. And I have a full crew of hardscape and landscape professionals, I would call them. Who we do everything from the installation, the prepping, the installation, the purchasing of plants and other materials. Finding materials for landscaping, it's not like going out and buying clothes. We're so used to finding things readily available. For us, it's finding not just finding that special item, that special plant, for instance, but finding it in a healthy condition, in the right size, and being able to transport it and get it to the right site.
Hmm.
You know, so there's... of all the things I've been fortunate enough to do in my life, this is probably, it seems like, the lowest tech thing I've ever done is landscaping. But I got to tell you, it's by far the most complex. There are way too many variables.
I was going to say, you have a lot of people involved. You've got a lot of plants. You're moving things here and there. You've got the variables of the weather. Because, you haven't even talked about what weather plays, have role
oh,
weather plays
gosh.
In this.
Yeah, I got to tell you, in last week, who would have expected an inch and a half of rain in early October?
Right.
You know?
Threw us all for a loop.
That was pretty amazing. I was running all over the place making sure that we were set. And fortunately, I'm pretty cognizant of that, so we didn't have too many issues.
Mm.
But weather, people forget when it's raining in the morning. If we're not there to do, we also do maintenance. That I didn't mean to do maintenance, but we have about 130 a week.
130 places that you do maintenance, and that was an accident?
Well, it was only because I didn't want to let go of some of my jobs. I wanted to make sure they always look good. And in the meantime, if it rains in the morning and it clears up by noon, notoriously I'll probably get calls from people, why aren't we here doing maintenance? Because it's still too wet to really do a clean job and a nice job doing the maintenance. So we usually put it off to the next day.
Sure.
But there's so many variables between finding the materials, having the right people who have the right skill set and they that understand what your values and what your standards are. Mm-hmm. So they are consistent in delivering that. And I'm very proud of my guys. I think they're like family to me, and they exemplify the politeness and the excitement of the job and the pride in the job that they're doing.
Sure.
That I like to exemplify.
Well, big shout out to your crew. In some ways, I hope that they're listening so they hear the shout out. In other ways, I hope they're not because they should be working.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm with you. Well, sometimes they have these earphones in too, I know that, and that's okay.
That is good. I want to circle back around and finish up with the botanical gardens because that is really the love that you've got going on. We've got a public hearing meeting that's coming up with Parks and Rec that's going to be happening next week.
Next week. It's next Wednesday the 20th at 5:30 at City Hall. And Parks and Recs will be reviewing, one, our master plan, and our leasing options that we've come up with over the last year and a half with the city of Ventura for leasing Grant Park. Hopefully, if that all goes well, we'll get their recommendation to move it on to City Council for final approval.
And City Council has the final vote. Once
Correct.
City Council approves it, then you've got the green light to start?
We got the green light. And what we'll be doing is our very next phase is creating more pathways and cleaning the pathways that are there with very clean small signs that say future home of or coming soon. So people can see, physically go out and walk it, enjoy the site, and see what's going to happen next. And then we will end up having to do an EIR, Environmental Impact Report.
Environmental Impact Report. Yeah. All right. Now, if all goes well, you get past the City Council, you get to the Environmental Impact Report, how long will it take before we actually see groundbreaking on the Ventura Botanical Gardens?
Well, we are hoping to clean up the pathways and see new pathways created sometime in spring of 2011.
Spring of 2011.
Yes. And then the EIR, we're hearing anywhere from a year to year and a half to complete the EIR. In the meantime, there's a lot of grants out there and federal and state funding that we're seeking for revitalizing areas that have historic significance to, you know, Bill, one thing we didn't mention is that of all the projects that I've been involved in our community, I have never seen such excitement come from as far away as Los Angeles and San Luis Obispo.
Oh,
people across the region are very interested in supporting this project.
That is great. We're talking to Doug Halter, everybody. We're talking about the Ventura Botanical Gardens. Doug, we've only got about 10 seconds left.
Oh, wow.
If they want to find out more, where should they go? What website would you
direct them to? Website is VenturaBotanicalGardens.org.
VenturaBotanicalGardens.org. Doug, thanks so much for being my guest on Brainstorming with Billy Brain. That brings us to the end of another show. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Tune in tomorrow. My special guest will be Mike Farrell of MASH. You'll want to hear that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.